Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday evening. I'm always kind of proud of myself when I remember to show up on Wednesday evenings. I don't know what it is about Wednesdays. I almost forget every time. But I'm here. And we're here for Holy Spirit Guides. And this is where we look at the personal messages that Holy Spirit has given me to help me along. And we're up to November of 2005. And in fact, today we are on the last message of November 2005. And then we'll begin December 2005. So we're also into the place now where the single quiet thoughts are showing up. And what I'm going to do as we go through Regina Donacre's is I'm going to skip the single quiet thoughts unless one in particular grabs my eye. One, I don't really feel guided to teach them. That's the real reason. But also, starting this Friday at 11 a.m., Zoe Oper is feeling guided to teach them. So she's actually going to begin at the beginning in November of 2005, and she's going to be going over the single quiet thoughts. So I'm not going to do that. So we'll be scrolling over those. But I've given you a link to November 2005, and so you can click on that link. And what I would like to do is just go to Holy Spirit and just turn this whole hour over to Holy Spirit so that we can be sure to get what we need. So Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you very much for the attention that we pay to the spiritual path. And that attention can seem to come in many forms. It could be that we are remembering to watch our mind. It could be that we're feeling guided to be still. It could be that we're in discussion or teaching activity where we're sharing what we've learned and therefore we're strengthening it within ourselves. It could be that we are reading a book. It could be that we are remembering to go over the single quiet thought or the course workbook lesson for the day. But I want to thank you for the attention that we pay to the spiritual path, because I know that you are the reminder in our mind that reminds us to focus on our purpose of awakening. Today's single quiet thought talks about the mind, the thinking mind, as being made to be a distractor, to keep our attention away from truth. And so if our thinking mind is the distractor, that which keeps our mind away from truth, then the prompt that comes in that keeps our mind focused on purpose is you. So thank you. Holy Spirit, as we go into this next hour, I just ask you to help each and every one of us to get whatever is most useful to us now. So please help us to see whatever is most helpful for us to see, and to realize whatever is most useful for us to realize. Thank you in advance, and amen. Okay. It is done. If you know me, then you know that the prayer is like my favorite part. So that's good. I like the prayer. Okay, so if you've clicked on the link that I gave you, and I'll give it again, maybe a couple people popped into the room since I gave the link. There's the link again. Once you click on that link, you can scroll down to Friday, November 25th. It's called The Perception of Demands. We're going to look at demanding people. So I don't remember this discussion at all with Holy Spirit, but it sounds like fun. So let's just have a look and see what it was. Here's the question. A Course in Miracles says, those who see themselves as whole make no demands. What would you share regarding this thought? And here is the answer. Peace is a flow that makes no demands because it fears no negative consequences for an action taken or not taken. Fear makes demands, because fear believes that things must occur in a specific way, or unpleasantness or disaster may result. And one thing that I like about this paragraph already is how he's really referring to peace as the part of our mind or the part of our awareness that does not make demands, and fear is the part of our mind that does make demands. Because the truth is, you know, when we talk about demanding people, we might think of a specific personality, but the truth is we are all capable of being demanding. And I'm sure at one time or another, if not at some point today, we have all made some type of demand. So what this really shows is that when we are in a place of making demands, of being demanding, we are coming from fear. And of course, when we are coming from peace, we are not feeling that same need to make demands. We're not feeling that same need to ask the situation to be something other than it is. Yeah, I'm going to continue with the next, second paragraph. Peace comes from the knowledge of wholeness and love. Fear comes from the belief in lack and guilt. When you perceive demands, you perceive with fear. This is always the case. Hello, Jasmine.
I forgot to tell you, Mom.
Yes?
We have beautification tomorrow.
I know.
So you have to pick me up at like 3:45.
I did not forget.
Okay.
Okay, you, hey, come here. Give me a kiss. Oops, look how demanding I am. No,
no, come here. No, I refuse.
No, come here. Give me a kiss. Mwah. I love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, let's see. So I'm gonna read the second paragraph again and then go into the third. Peace comes from the knowledge of wholeness and love. Fear comes from the belief in lack and guilt. When you perceive demands, you perceive with fear. This is always the case. If you are the one that seems to be demanding, it is because you believe the situation must be controlled in order to bring you peace. And we all know this, but I'm going to go ahead and read it again because we also all forget. We're so alike. If you are the one that seems to be demanding, it is because you believe the situation must be controlled in order to bring you peace. You also believe if it is not controlled, you cannot have peace and you must inevitably suffer. If you perceive someone is making demands on you, you again feel the need to control the situation for your own peace. If you did not feel attached to a specific outcome, you could not perceive demands. So again, he's first talking about when I am feeling demanding or the need to be demanding. I may be holding it in, holding it back, but I'm feeling the need to be demanding. And whenever I'm feeling the need to be demanding, again, I'm coming from fear. And even more than that, I'm temporarily insane because I'm temporarily believing I cannot be at peace unless the situation is controlled to a specific outcome. And that is just absolutely false, which is why I called it temporary insanity. Because the truth is I can always be at peace, and that is not dependent on anything except my choice. So that's temporary insanity. But also, if I'm perceiving someone as making demands on me, this is what I'm going to call a negative perception. This is looking at my brother and thinking he is doing something wrong. He is trying to control me. If this is the way that I am perceiving my brother, I am also coming from fear. And, you know, this is another thing we want to pay attention to because, of course, the temptation, and we all, I think, are familiar with this temptation as well. The temptation is to forget about my perception when someone else seems to be demanding. I may be more likely to look at my perception when I'm the one feeling demanding and less likely to look at my perception when it seems like someone else is being demanding because I see it as their problem, they're wrong, I'm right. And when I'm wearing that face of innocence, that face of righteousness, it's easy to forget to look at my own mind. But the truth is, I wouldn't perceive them as demanding if I was in my right mind. One way the Course words it is that I might perceive it as a call for love. I might perceive them as a brother who is in fear. I would feel compassion and love, and I would not perceive it as demanding. So if I see someone as demanding, I need to look at my own mind. And this is what Holy Spirit is pointing out. It doesn't matter whether I'm feeling demanding or whether I perceive someone else as demanding. It's my mind I need to look at. So let's continue. Holy Spirit says, or actually I said, it's a question. When I see myself as demanding or perceive someone making demands on me, what can I do? Answer. First, remember to step back and look at the thoughts in your mind. I notice this is true in both cases, whether I am seeing myself with the temptation to demand, to control, or whether I perceive someone else as making demands on me. First, remember to step back and look at the thoughts in your mind. Notice that you are attached to an outcome and that you are afraid not to control the situation to that end. You may ask yourself what you are afraid of if you feel the desire to know, but that is not necessary. Acknowledging that you are acting based on fear is enough. And I'm going to stop there because there's something I love about this particular sentence. As we know, the ego is willing to be very involved with us on the spiritual path. The ego is willing to get very involved in the idea of healing the mind, in the idea of looking in the mind, in the idea of finding error. And there's an analytical analysis, you know, continually looking and looking and looking to find the problem, which is really the ego. And analysis paralysis, I think that's Dory that is saying. And so really what Holy Spirit is doing is helping us with this, because he's saying you may not need to know that exact cause. You might not need to know exactly what is it here that's upsetting me. Just to know you're coming from fear can be enough. And the truth is, when we are really getting ready to let go of the ego, that is enough. If I see at any point in my mind that I'm coming from fear, or that I'm coming from unworthiness, or that I'm coming just from ego in general, just not wanting to come from ego is enough to get me to shift my mind and change my position immediately. I don't need to go into any kind of analysis paralysis. So that's what Holy Spirit is talking about here. So I'm going to start at the beginning of the paragraph and read straight through, but it's a great tip that he's giving us, that just knowing we're coming from fear is enough. We don't need to know the specific that is driving the fear. We can if we want to. It's okay, but it's not necessary. So Holy Spirit says, first, remember to step back and look at the thoughts in your mind. Notice that you are attached to an outcome and that you are afraid not to control the situation to that end. You may ask yourself what you are afraid of if you feel the desire to know, but that is not necessary. Acknowledging that you are acting based on fear is enough, for all fear is based on the belief that you are lacking from love. It is a belief that there can be two sides. You are on one side and love is on the other, and love will not come to support or love you, so you will suffer. Fear is doubt that love could love you. That's an interesting definition, don't you think? Fear is doubt that love could love you. Fear is a lack of trust that you could be lovable. In fact, fear is certainty that you are not worthy of love, and so you must inevitably suffer. This is where the struggle comes from. It is the fight to take care of yourself so you do not have to face the inevitable abandonment of love. Now again, we're talking about demands. And so look at what this is saying. This is saying the real reason that we want to demand for a specific outcome, if we are the one that's feeling demanding in the moment, is because we fear that we are not worthy of love, and therefore we will most certainly be abandoned by love, and so we must take care of ourselves. We have to make things happen in a specific way in order to be happy, and if we don't take control, most certainly will the situation work out so that we are not happy. Again, because we are not worthy of love. This is the root cause of the desire to be demanding. And again, if we're perceiving someone else as demanding, what we aren't realizing is that they are just simply coming from fear in that moment. In that moment, we've actually taken a defensive position, which means we're really feeling the same way. We just may not seem to be the most aggressive in the moment, but if we're perceiving someone else as making demands on us, that is because we have taken an opposite position. And we also feel it must work out our way. We do not want to give in to that person's demands, because to give in to their demands would actually be going against our own, which are not quite as conscious right now. So we're still trying to control. We're still perceiving the need to control. We're still perceiving the need for things to work out in a specific way, or else we can't be happy. And that's still driven by the fear that if we don't take control, most certainly the situation will work out in a way that we won't be happy, because we are not worthy of love. It's pretty, isn't it? Laura Blue, I see your hand up, so what would you like? Let's see, question. This does not mean we have to do nothing about anything, does it? I mean, this does not mean we should stop doing normal life activities, or does it? I don't know what you mean by the words normal life activities. My normal life activities do not involve demands on anybody's part. I don't perceive demands being a part of my normal life activities. Maybe your normal life activities seem different. For me, a demanding situation would be the exception rather than the rule. But it may be some people's lives are different, and maybe demands are going on all day long. But I will tell you that Holy Spirit is very clear with me. And ego is always certain to object. But Holy Spirit is very clear with me that when I am feeling upset for any reason, and I highlight any reason, that the very best thing for me to do is to step back and watch my mind. Okay, so now Laura Blue is saying to take control of life. For example, to wash the dishes could be seen as a kind of control. Yeah, no, it could be seen as a kind of control. Let's go ahead and use washing the dishes as an example, because I would say that's a place where I have both felt demanding and not felt demanding. So it's a great opportunity. Certainly, when Laurent first came here, Laurent did not have the same habits that I had. One of those habits would be, it's not that I don't leave dishes in the sink sometimes, but I'm the kind of person that before I leave them in the sink, I rinse them. So they're never in the sink dirty with stuff drying on, which is just going to be harder to wash later. And Laurent was the kind of person who would come and would eat and then just put the dishes in the sink and leave them there. And, you know, the stuff gets dried on there and, you know, it's harder to clean. And I would say this was a time when I began to feel demanding. There was something in me that said, this has to be done a certain way, or I can't be happy. And that's what we're talking about. This has to be done a certain way, or I can't be happy. And there were many other habits that Laurent had that were different than mine. In fact, I don't know if Laurent and I had any habits in common. And so when he first arrived, you guys may have heard me say this before, what I actually experienced was feeling like I hated him. And again, feeling very demanding. I wanted him to change everything about the way he was, because my mind was telling me I could not be happy living with those living habits. However, My guidance, of course, my guidance was not to take control. And this is what's important. My guidance was to step back and look at my mind. And in fact, this is when a lot of really key messages came from Holy Spirit, such as the code and other really important messages that came along to help me look at my mind. It was helping me look at what was much more important than the dishes or the cleanliness of the house. It was helping me see that as I walked around thinking these thoughts of hating Laurent and resenting the dirty dishes and anything else, it was helping me to see the energy that I was both accepting as my current experience and the energy that I was sharing within our one mind. And it taught me how the thoughts that I am thinking and believing now come back again and again and again. So I get caught in a loop of hatred and resentment and misery. And what it really taught me was it wasn't the dishes at all that were making me unhappy, although that was the ego story. What was keeping me from feeling at peace was the thoughts I was thinking in my mind. And what Holy Spirit guided me to do was nothing about the dishes other than washing them when I normally would, but not talking to Laurent about it, not asking him to adapt my habits, but to let Laurent be Laurent. This was always my guidance, to let Laurent be Laurent, and for me to look at my mind. And this was my guidance. This was what I did. And by the time Laurent left, some of his habits changed somewhat. I think sometimes when we look at our mind, then what happens is the reflection around us then changes. So some of his habits changed somewhat. But to be honest, at the same time, like he did start rinsing dishes and putting them in the dishwasher, a lot of the time. enough of the time that it was nice. But what was most important, at least for me, because again, it's my responsibility to accept the atonement for myself. What was most important to me is that it no longer was important to me. So some of his habits changed and they met, what we would call my preference a little more. But even more than that, what was most important is I was allowed to let Laurent be Laurent and just be happy and be at peace and not need things my way anymore. And this is really what Holy Spirit is trying to teach us. So we want to be real careful about that thought in the mind that is trying to tell us but this doesn't mean you can't take control. Because if you look underneath that thought, you might still see that there's still that thought, if it's not this way, I can't be happy. That's the thought you want to look for. If that thought is underneath it, if it's not this way, I can't be happy. Well, then this is something you want to look at with Holy Spirit. And so now Laura Blue says, thanks for the reply. So it is possible to wash the dishes without being a so-called control freak. All I mean here is that what we do is not the issue. Our reasons, motivations for what we do is the target of these teachings. And yeah, I would say it's quite possible to do everything in life in just a flow without any control at all. You just feel to go from one activity to another and everything gets done and you trust everything will get done and there's no control going on. And we can all feel the difference, about when we're getting demanding and when we're not, when we're just doing things. So it's really watching for that feeling of getting demanding, that feeling of if it's not this way, I can't be happy. That's really what we're looking at here. So what I'm going to do now, Lord Blue, because it looks like we're okay here, what I'm going to do is go back to the message, and I'm going to go to the next question, because I wasn't okay yet that day. Question. I can see that by letting myself face this fear, I provide the opportunity to learn that I am not abandoned. That lesson would have to be the end of fear. What can you share that will help me let go of control and face fear? And Holy Spirit says, the answer is always the same and does not change. Fear comes from your thoughts. So this is what we just talked about. To lessen the hold fear has on you, Your thoughts must be quieted. My answer would be that you rest in faith with me. By resting with fear and not struggling against it, you may face that which you fear and find it is not there. And again, that which I fear, remember, is that love has abandoned me, or that I cannot be happy, that most certainly I'm going to be unhappy or suffering. So if you face your fear by resting with fear and not struggling against it, then you will find that what you fear is not there. That which you fear is simply not there. And it is this discovery that ends all fear forever. And again, keeping in mind that what we really fear is that we will most certainly be miserable. Okay, this is the core fear, that I will most certainly be miserable because, again, I am not worthy of love. But when I learn that the only thing that is making me miserable is my own thoughts, and I learn to rest my mind and not trust and believe those thoughts, well, then I am going to be happy. So I learned that what I feared most was nothing. It was a puff. I was only fearing it because I was believing these thoughts in my mind. Because I can be happy. I can be at peace all of the time, in all situations, if I learn not to listen to the ego's thoughts in my mind. And again, Holy Spirit is recommending that we do this by resting the mind. And let's see. Laura Blue says, your next question is extremely funny. Oh, he's ahead of me. Can I face my fear too soon before I am ready? This is a fear of facing the fear, he says. Okay, so let's go look at my question. And it may be extremely funny, but I know it's not that unusual. I've heard this question from others as well. There's a fear that that we may practice what Holy Spirit asks us to practice and then find ourselves in the middle of something we can't handle. So this is actually a common fear. So again, my question was, can I face my fear too soon before I am ready? And Holy Spirit says, in this, you are asking if I will abandon you because you came to me before you were adequately prepared or before you were fully worthy. This is impossible. Whenever you come to me, you will find that I am here. There is never a time that is too soon. There is never a reason for me to abandon you. Such thoughts are impossible. I cannot turn from you, for I am the pure and innocent love that is you. I am all that is left when all that is not love has been left aside as useless to you. Now, at the time of this writing, we're looking at November in 2005, I did not yet have the understanding that every experience I have comes from me. So what I was really fearing here, I still saw Holy Spirit as separate from me. And I feared that Holy Spirit being my enemy, because this is another thought that's in the ego mind, that really Holy Spirit is our enemy, that really Holy Spirit is going to ask us to sacrifice. So I had this thought that with Holy Spirit being my enemy, if I gave my willingness to face my fear, that he being the bad guy, and of course I would never have used this language, but this is really what the fear says, he being the bad guy would put me in a situation that I was not at all ready for. And this is what he is answering here, is that particular fear that, you know, it's impossible for me to be in a situation I'm not adequately prepared for, because all situations come from me. So that's an impossibility. It is also impossible for me to be abandoned by Holy Spirit, or for Holy Spirit to become this enemy. Because Holy Spirit is the pure and innocent love that's in my mind. Holy Spirit will always be my helpfulness. It will never be my enemy. Let me minimize my ReginaDonAcres.com so I can see what Christian and Laura Blue are writing. Gina, stop yawning. Don't know what you mean by that, Christian. But Laura Blue, he's quoting a great sentence. I am the pure and innocent love that is you. I am all that's left when all that is not love has been left aside as useless to you. Yeah, I like that sentence too, and I like the as useless part. I love the as useless part. So when I'm holding on to a thought that says I need to make demands to make sure that the people who are in my household do dishes the way I want it done, for example, I'm seeing that thought as actually being very useful to me when I'm holding on to it, because I'm thinking that this thought is my salvation, that if I can demand and control everybody in my household to do dishes the way I want them done, that I will be happy. So I'm actually seeing the thought as very useful. But in fact, it's ego and it's the thought itself that's keeping me unhappy. So when I see that thought as useless, when I see the idea that I need to make people do dishes a certain way as useless, and I let it go, that's where my peace comes from. This is when we're getting in touch with the pure and innocent love that is us. And I'll tell you how you know if you're getting in touch with the pure and innocent love. It's that you love. That's the simple answer. As you look and you love at whatever you're looking at, well, then you know that you're getting closer and closer to that love that is you, because that's the filter through which you're seeing the world. That's the filter through which you're experiencing. So when you look and you love, then you are getting very, very close to the love that is you. I'll just let go of the mic for a second and see if anybody else has anything they'd like to share before we go looking for the next message. All right, then. Let's see. I think that was the last message in November. I'm scrolling up and I hit a couple of single quiet thoughts, but like I said, I don't intend to teach those. We're going to let Zoe do that Friday mornings at 11 a.m. So what I'm going to do is go to December 2005, and I will give you guys the link so you can go there with me. There is a link to December 2005 at reginadonacres.com. And what we want to do is go to the beginning of the month. When you get to December 2005, you'll see at the top where it says previous entries. You just click on previous entries. It looks like once, twice, three times until there is no more previous entries. Then you're at the beginning of the month. And then you are going to scroll down until you come to a message called Focus on Acceptance. It's from Friday, December 2nd, 2005. Focus on Acceptance, Friday, December 2nd, 2005. And it looks like this is just Holy Spirit speaking. I didn't have a question. So let's see what Holy Spirit had to say to me that day. I told you before that judgment is a habit we will work on. Today, it is time to begin focusing on the habit so that it may be taken away through your willingness to be free of it. Now, this is interesting because, at least to me, maybe not to you, but it's interesting because he says we're going to begin looking at this habit so that it may be taken away through my willingness to be free of it. So this really describes how the miracle happens, the miracle being the shift. Judgments are very, very natural. I spoken before about how I noticed when I first started studying the Course, when I would go somewhere on an airplane, I noticed that I was judging every single person that was getting on the plane. As I was sitting there watching others board, my mind was just judging. That's all it was doing. And one thing I noticed in the last 6 months or so, I happened to get on a plane and I was watching people board, and then all of a sudden it hit me that I was just watching people board. I wasn't judging. I was sitting there in peace watching people board, and I thought, my God, it's just changed. It's just change. My mind is not constantly judging everything my eyes lands on. And this really explains how that happened. It happened through my willingness to pay attention to judgment with the willingness not to judge anymore, to be free of judgment. And this is why it's called a miracle. It's not really that much effort on our part, although it can feel like a lot of effort in the beginning. But it's really just the willingness to start paying attention to the mind, noticing that the mind is judging, and then realizing that isn't what we want, that we don't want to be judging machines, and giving our willingness for it to change. And as we start doing that, then the shifts start to happen naturally. So again, let's go back and look at focus on acceptance. I told you before that judgment is a habit we will work on. Today, it is time to begin focusing on the habit so that it may be taken away through your willingness to be free of it. Judgment is subtle. You may be aware of strong judgments that you make, and you may already give those specific judgments to me as you notice them. But you are not yet aware of the subtle judgments that you make with every thought. Look at that. With every thought. This is why I said we are judging machines. Judgment is a habit you continue to hold dear. You see your judgments as your identity, for your judgments make sense of your world according to your wishes and your desires. I don't know about you guys, but to me that's a whoa paragraph, which means whoa, 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 whoa. Let me slow down and accept this. Let me accept, okay, the real reason why I'm judging. Judging is also a form of control. Judging is a form of trying to make the world into what I want it to be, which means it's a complete veil over the truth. A complete veil over the truth. It's my little form of control. You know, through my judgments, I can make everything my eyes land on be what I want it to be. Judgment is a habit you continue to hold dear. It's important to realize that I value my judgment. It's really important to see that, because until I see that I value it, I won't choose not to value it. And that's what I have to do. I have to choose not to value it anymore. But before I can choose again, I have to see what I'm already choosing. So the default choice in the world, just because we are here, is that I value my judging, because it defines the world for me and it creates for me the world I want to see. And this should sound very familiar. It sounds a lot like A Course in Miracles to me. So, judgment is a habit you continue to hold dear. You see your judgments as your identity, for your judgments make sense of your world according to your wishes and desires. If a wish is the basis of judgment, acceptance is the means of ending the judgment habit. If a wish to see it the way I want to see it, is the basis of judgment, then acceptance is the means of ending the judgment habit. When I accept things as they are, I am no longer trying to control, which means I'm no longer trying to make the world into what I want it to be. And this is the first step to accepting the truth as it is. It's accepting the illusion as I perceive it. And again, this is very much like the discussion we had a while ago about dishes. By accepting, and not just dishes, but all of Laurent's habits that were different than mine, by accepting Laurent as Laurent without asking him to change, I was letting go of judgment, letting go of control, letting go of hatred. And I'll tell you what, these are all great things to let go of, because we cannot be happy if we're holding on to any of those things. If a wish is the basis of judgment, acceptance is the means of ending the judgment habit. This is also how you will come to full willingness to lay any false identity aside as valueless. For false identity was deemed valuable by judgment born of a wish. So again, by accepting what comes up in my day-to-day life, I am taking the steps towards accepting the truth as it is, which of course is what we all want. That's what awakening is accepting the truth as it is and no longer believing the false to be true. And I start by accepting that not everybody in my house does dishes the way I would like them to. Isn't that amazing? Accepting it. Truly accepting it. Not resenting it and pretending like I'm accepting it, but truly working with Holy Spirit to look at my thoughts, see how only my thoughts are hurting me, truly let go of those thoughts and go into true acceptance. This is taking steps towards letting go of illusion as a whole. Holy Spirit continues, focus on acceptance today. Notice the subtle judgments or wishes that make acceptance seem undesirable. When you notice them, remember that you are perfect as you are. There is no judgment against you. Simply smile at your folly, be grateful for your awareness, and give all that is meaningless to me. So there's a couple of important things in this particular paragraph. One, he says, notice the subtle judgments or wishes that make acceptance seem undesirable. I believe it's in NTI where it says every time you make a wish, you've actually just made a judgment. And an example of that, in fact, from this day when this message came, I remember I went to Walmart grocery shopping. And I remember I grabbed a grocery cart and I got one of those grocery carts where the wheel kind of sticks and it doesn't, you know, push real well. And I remember I noticed first the wish in my mind. I wish I had a different grocery cart. Then I noticed that I had made a judgment. I had literally made a very, very subtle judgment. Again, it wasn't a loud judgment like, oh God, I hate that girl. You know, those kind of judgments I was already hearing very easily. But it was a very, very subtle judgment. There was a thought in my mind that I could not be at peace with this shopping cart. That this shopping cart with the wheel that sticks has the power to take away my peace. And if you think about that a minute, that is a ridiculous thought. Yet I wouldn't be surprised if nearly everyone in the room has at some point grabbed a shopping cart, had the exact same thought without noticing it. You know, and this is what Holy Spirit is asking us to look at in this particular message. These subtle, subtle judgments that we make all of the time, so much all of the time, that we don't even notice them. We don't even notice them. We just make them and go on. Because it's these subtle judgments, they actually do count. You know, maybe I don't feel a huge stab of anger when I grab that shopping cart, but there is a little mild twinge of annoyance. And if I allow these types of subtle judgments to continually go by without paying any attention to them, they do add up to the effect of a great big ego storm at some point. This is what happens. We just keep piling the judgments up until, you know, something happens and it's the hair, you know, what is it they say? The last straw on the camel's back? And it blows up into an all-out ego storm, and we wonder, where did this come from? Well, this came from us not watching our mind over the last 2 days, 3 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. That's where it came from. But one thing we have to realize is we aren't good at watching our mind, and we have to allow Holy Spirit to teach us to watch our mind, because we so blindly just listen to our thoughts without noticing what we're doing. We're really blind, very blind. And so Holy Spirit is helping us to open our eyes. And one little hint that he's giving us here is whenever you make a wish, you've just made a judgment. Pause and look for the judgment. Notice what's going on in your mind. Let's see, Lord Blue. Where is the camel? Oh, I don't know, it's just a saying. It's even kind of a silly saying, I guess. I'm going to take this opportunity, though, to take a drink. Hold on. So again, Holy Spirit is saying, focus on acceptance today. Notice the subtle judgments or wishes that make acceptance seem undesirable. Like it's undesirable for me to keep this shopping cart. If I do, I won't be happy. Holy Spirit is saying, notice that thought, okay? Don't just say, and again, don't just say, well, I don't have to put up with this and go put it back. I mean, sure, we can do that, but the truth is we're missing an opportunity when we do that. What we miss is the opportunity to see there's a belief in our mind that says things have to be a certain way or I can't be happy. And what's much more important is for us to let go of that belief. That's much more important than having the right shopping cart while I'm at Walmart for 30 minutes. You guys get this? I got it that day. So, focus on acceptance today. Notice the subtle judgments or wishes that make acceptance seem undesirable. Now, notice what he says in the next sentence. When you notice them, remember that you are perfect as you are. The reason he's telling us that is because he knows the ego in our mind. And he knows that when we notice that we're judging the shopping cart, that we're believing we can't be happy with this shopping cart, our next ego tendency is to judge ourself for judging, to get down on ourself for being so bad that we would have made a judgment. And that's what we do. We judge ourselves for judging. Yeah, feeling guilty. And that's just, you know, what we call double dosing on the ego. So another thing that Holy Spirit teaches us, as he's teaching us to let go of judgment, is he teaches us to see our judgments without judging us for judging. And we can't let go of judgment. We aren't allowing the miracle if we're judging ourselves for judging, if we're constantly beating ourselves up for not getting it right. We aren't allowing the miracle. We do need to learn to get into that observer role where we can say, yes, I see I just judged that woman. Yes, I see I just judged my daughter. Yes, I see I just judged myself. Yes, I see I just, and just, yes, I see I just did, while remembering that that's not what we want anymore. This is how we allow the miracle. We observe our judging mind without judging ourselves for having a judging mind. And as ridiculous as it sounds, this is so true, you may even begin in what I call the third position. You may judge that woman over there, then judge yourself for judging that woman over there. Well, you still have another chance now. Now you can say, oh, I see that I judged myself for judging that woman, and let go of judgment at that point in the third position. Now, when you let go of judgment in the third position, you most likely will already be feeling the effects of judgment, which is called guilt. So when you are letting go of judgment in the third person, this is where you're also going to have to move into the rest, accept, and trust, and allow the guilt to rise, be a little peaceful, remember that the guilt is not true, no matter what it feels like, and you're going to have to go through the letting go of the guilt as well. But that is still moving you towards the miracle. That's what counts. That's still moving you towards the miracle. So if you see a judgment in your mind, then observe the judgment without judging it. If you judged it, then let go of judgment in the third position by allowing the release of the guilt by not believing it. And Lord Blue is asking me if I could explain the third position. Yeah, it's just my own little made-up term. So here's the first position. First position is just the judgment appears. I'm typing it out. That's the first position, the judgment appears. And that's going to be true until the miracle occurs. When the miracle occurs, the judgment will not appear anymore. And this is what I'm talking about for me on the airplane. I'm not saying judgment never appears, but we are noticing less and less first positions in my mind. For example, now I can sit on an airplane and watch people board without my mind firing judgment. So the first position does not exist for me in all of the same places where it used to. All right? But that's that. When it's happening, it just happens. You can't do anything about it. If your mind is still in having the judgment showing up, well, then there's nothing you can do about it. So the second position is where you observe or notice the judgment. And so what you really want to do in the second position, this is after the judgment has already occurred, you just want to observe it without judgment. You just want to say, ah, I see my mind judged that. And remember, that's not what you want. Oh, yeah, I see I judged. So you're judging, you're observing your judgments without judging them. But in the beginning, even the second position is not going to occur naturally a lot of the time. You're going to automatically judge in the first position, and then you're going to automatically judge yourself for judging in the second position. That's where the third position comes along. And you'll know you'll hit the third position if you're at all aware, because this is where guilt appears. Okay? You'll feel guilty. Because there was a judgment in your mind, you judged yourself for the judgment, and now you're going to feel guilty. So here, if you haven't woken up yet, this guilt will usually wake you up. And you really have a choice in the third position. You can believe that you're guilty. And if you believe that you're guilty, you're still not allowing the miracle. You're in the way of the miracle through believing the guilt. But if you can allow yourself to feel the guilt, rest, accept, and trust in the guilt while remembering it's not true. It is merely the effect of judgment. It's merely an effect. You know, just like if you shoot a paintball at a white garage door, you know, a red paintball at a white garage door, then a red splash is the effect of having shot that paintball. Guilt is the effect of having judged. It does not mean you're guilty. So if you can just rest, accept, and trust, feel the guilt while not believing it, let it rise, let it dissipate on its own time, then you are not in the way of the miracle and you're still allowing the miracle. So that's the first position when the judgment appears. The second position, observe the judgment without judgment. And if you miss that opportunity, then in the third position, allow the feeling of guilt without believing you're guilty. And if you'd like help with that, I would recommend reading NTI 2 Timothy. This is what NTI 2 Timothy teaches is third position healing. It's where the effects are already in place because you've already believed the fear or believed the judgment or believed that you're unworthy. And so you're feeling it, and now you're letting go in the third position. But again, this is still making room for the miracle. See, that's why it's important. So whether you do it in the second position or the third position, you're allowing room for the miracle, which is really what we want, right? Okay, so I see we're okay with Lord Blue again. So I'm going to just read this last paragraph one more time, see if there's anything else in it that I want to point out. So Holy Spirit says, focus on acceptance today. Notice the subtle judgments or wishes that make acceptance seem undesirable. When you notice them, remember that you are perfect as you are. There is no judgment against you. Simply smile at your folly. See how he's teaching us not to judge in the second position? Teaching us not to judge our judgments. Simply smile at the fact that there was a judgment in your mind. Be grateful for your awareness. Be glad that you noticed it. And give all that is meaningless to me. Then hand it over to Holy Spirit to be healed. Allow the miracle. So, pretty nice little message. And let's see. Please, can I have the date of your last reading or the title? Of course you can, but I clicked on the wrong button and turned off the mic. The date is, it's Friday, December 2nd, 2005, and it's called Focus on Acceptance. Friday, December 2nd, 2005. And the next message looks a little long, and maybe it's not. I'll try reading it. You know what I'll do? I'll read it in at least 5 minutes. And then if I feel like we need to discuss it, we'll just start with it again next time. But we can at least read it. So I'm looking at Sunday, December 4th. You're going to scroll up from where we were. Sunday, December 4th, 2005. And here's the question. A Course in Miracles says, the Holy Spirit's perceptions are your natural awareness, and it is only the distortions you introduce that tire you. I accept this because as you have had me watching the subtleties in my mind, I have noticed how those subtleties seem to tire me. But the stream of thought seems constant, and beyond my control, so that mind watching and forgiveness also seem tiring. What would you share with me that is helpful? And here's the Holy Spirit's answer. The mind watching and forgiveness only seems tiring because you are resistant to it. It is not forgiveness that makes you tired, but resistance. These are the thoughts that tire you: judgment, guilt, hatred, fear, resistance, and doubt. Let me read that list again. This is the things that tire our mind: judgment, guilt, hatred, fear, resistance, and doubt. When you are free of these thoughts, you are energy filled by love, joy, peace, excitement, and the enthusiasm of acceptance. And I love those words, considering he's been teaching us to let go of control, let go of being demanding, let go of judging, because really then what he's asking us to do is to accept. And we all notice that, I think we all notice, because again, I think we're all the same. We all notice that, but I can't accept this thought. That's the resistance he's talking about. But I can't accept that. I can't just allow this person to be that way. I can't. That's the resistance he's talking about that's making us tired. And he says, but at some point, you know, again, when you keep allowing the miracle, and the way I'm teaching you to allow the miracle, this is going to shift to an enthusiasm of acceptance. How cool is that? At some point, you will have experienced enough benefits from your willingness that you will then want more. You will have an enthusiasm for acceptance, because you're going to realize that the peace and the joy that you feel from acceptance is way better than the judgment and your attempts at control and all of that before. You're going to realize that that's what was making you unhappy, and that acceptance actually brings joy into your heart. And as you realize this, you're going to have an enthusiasm for acceptance. I mean, that's pretty cool. And I said to Holy Spirit, I accept that. I'm getting good at this acceptance thing, aren't I? I accept that. How can you help me with resistance? Here's the answer. Enjoy the thought of rest. Enjoy the thought of rest. Remember that there is nothing you need do. All struggle comes from the ego. Even to struggle against resistance comes from the ego. Any struggle implies that it is upon your own individual power that you are saved. This can never be, since it is the seeming individual power that is being placed aside. The power on which you are to rely is the power of Spirit. This power can best be described within your own mind as trust. Notice what he's saying, because Spirit is something that's not real touchable. Of course, trust isn't either, but we can feel trust in a concrete way. So in that way, it is more trustable. More feelable. The power on which you are to rely is the power of Spirit. This power can best be described within your mind as trust. When you are trusting without struggle, you are relying on my power. Listen to that. When you are trusting without struggle, you are relying on my power. To step away from ego thoughts, rest, and trust is to transcend the ego. To step away from ego thoughts, rest, and trust is to transcend the ego. This is to place your mind above the ego, to see it as meaningless and as having no effects. This is the release that is called forgiveness. In answer to your question regarding resistance, the answer is the same. Notice when mind watching and forgiveness seem tiring. Realize that is resistance. Acknowledge your resistance and do not struggle against it. Rest, trust, and be grateful that this is all you are asked to do. And one sentence that Holy Spirit gave me in NTI, which I used so many times I could never begin to tell you how many times, is simply this: trust the healing process. And so whenever it seemed tough, because I was feeling so much fear or so much guilt or so much resistance, I would rest and say to myself, trust the healing process. And that put everything in Holy Spirit's hands. And you can feel that it works, because as you say that thought, along with your willingness and your trust, you actually feel yourself relax. All right, I went over about a minute, but we did get through that last message, so that's good. And in 2 weeks, we'll continue with December 2005. Thanks for joining me, everyone. I love you. Good night.